Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Obama will deliver his State of the Union address tonight in what the White House is calling the fourth quarter of his presidency. The president's expected to focus on the growing gap between the middle class and the wealthy in this country. He's already unveiled proposals to expand paid leave for workers, to boost home ownership, have the government pay community college tuition for many, and cut taxes for the middle class while asking the wealthy to pay more. It is already clear that the Republican-controlled Congress will not go for much of that agenda, but how will it play outside Washington?
Let's ask. We want to spend a few minutes today with three newspaper editors. Nick Jimenez is columnist and editorial page editor emeritus of the Corpus Christi Caller Times in South Texas. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm just fine. Rosemary Goudreau O'Hara is editorial page editor of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. She's in Miami. Welcome to you, Rosemary.
Happy to be here.
And we have Jay Jochnowitz, editorial page editor for the Albany Times Union in upstate New York, glorious part of the country. Jay, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
And all three of you wrote editorials about the president's free community college plan, expressing some reservations. So let's start there. Rosemary,
yes.
Florida tried something like this. How did it work? What were your reservations?
Well, you don't hear most people complain that the cost of going to community college is too high. We've held those tuition prices down, relatively speaking. It's more the cost of four-year university educations and the cost of student loans that's really socking people in the pocketbook.
Well, so that was maybe one of your concerns. But, you know, the people who do go to the community colleges are usually the ones who have so much less and need that help. But do I understand that in Florida, you had a program in which I think they had to have a certain qualifying grade, a C, I think, and the program became too expensive, so they had to tighten up the requirements?
That's right. We passed a program, it's still in effect, called Bright Futures, that wants to hold on to the best and brightest in Florida and give them a university education. And the promise was great, but now because the standards are relatively low, the cost of the program just grew out of sight to a point that the legislature started putting restraints on it. So about half of the people who once qualified now qualify. It's mostly people who come from higher income families who take advantage of the program. It's not those of lesser means who benefited most. In fact, the cuts, by raising the standards of who qualifies, those in lower socioeconomic families have dramatically seen their access to these scholarships reduced.
Interesting. It might be that people who might have chosen four-year schools would take the community college because of that offer. And someone was jumping in. Who's that?
This is Nick. Uh-huh. And I think that is one of my reservations about it. I am totally for making the 2-year community college degree the new standard for education instead of the high school degree. Obviously, the high school degree will not provide a living wage anymore. So I think the 2-year community college a degree has to be the standard now.
But it sounds like you're saying it has to go to the right people.
But I think you need to put in some sort of
Economic qualifier.
So that you don't wind up subsidizing folks who could pay their own way anyway.
Well,
I think one of the other things is that you have a large number of people who do start junior college and for whatever reason drop out.
Yeah.
And that's because I think we do a terrible job of advising people, of counseling people, of sitting down with them and say, okay, here's where you are, here's where you want to go. Now, what are the courses you're going to take? Over what period of time?
Oh, and those are your concerns.
Many of them are because they're having to work.
Yeah.
So they work, and so they have to balance the two back and forth. And if there's a way to solve that, I think – yes, we need to make the 2-year community college degree the standard.
Yeah, so those were your concerns. Nick Jimenez is there in Corpus Christi, South Texas. Jay, what about you in New York up there in the Albany area? New York made promises on higher education in the 4-year state university system. Some fell through, though, the promises. Is that your point, that this is worse if it fails?
Well, our concern, and it was borne out with the what New York's experience was that they said they were going to get a rational tuition plan going, and the rational tuition idea was a departure from the way New York used to do it, which is not do tuition increases at all until it became a crisis, and they would suddenly jack up rates, you know, by double-digit percentages. So the idea was a few years ago, let's do a few years of steady increases, very modest increases. I would disagree that they were modest. The what has happened is that the cost of a college tuition in of a SUNY tuition in Albany has gone up faster than the rate of inflation. And the state did not it said it would maintain its effort, and in fact it did, but what it did was in maintaining, it froze its effort. So there's no more state money going in than there was before. And so what happened was a shift in who is paying for the total cost of SUNY, and students are paying more of it. So that's a I think that was just a tax on students and their families.
Let me just put you on hold there, because I do want to get to some other issues that we're going to hear about tonight. And one of them is going to be, for sure, immigration, following the president's recent executive action allowing millions of undocumented people in this country to avoid deportation. Nick, let me go to you. Corpus Christi is 150 miles from the Mexico border.
That's right.
What are you hoping to hear from the president?
Well, I'm hoping to hear the president that he can uphold his order suspending deportation for children and families that fit the criteria. I would like, I think all of us would like, a some sort of resolution finally to the immigration question.
But you don't think that should include citizenship?
I would say citizenship is a bridge too far, quite frankly. It just so happens that my wife and I teach English as a second language and citizenship classes, and she also does some voluntary translations for Catholic Charities, which deals with a lot of immigration cases. And I think a lot of these families would simply settle for some sort of legal status to eliminate the fear, I mean, the outright fear of being deported from one moment to the next.
Rosemary, what about you in South Florida? How's this playing there? What do you want to hear from the president on immigration?
Well, immigration is a big issue in South Florida, like the rest of the country. You know, about half of those who are undocumented were jubilant when the president issued his executive order, and the other half who didn't qualify scratched their head and wondered about, you know, what about us? It's interesting for us that, and for the nation, really, that our former Governor Jeb Bush is raising his hand as a possible contender for the presidential nomination in 2016. And when he talks about immigration reform, and maybe the 2016 race is when we finally will have a bipartisan discussion about immigration reform, he talks about it being family reunification, getting away from family reunification and focusing more on the kinds of immigrants that we want to fill the kinds of jobs that you know will drive our economy. And the third thing, and maybe we'll get to talk more about it, is just the recent policy with Cuba. You know, there's a special immigration policy that says if people from Cuba set foot on our shores, they get to stay. It's a different policy than for any other demographic, and there's some problems with it. And it, you know, whether we revisit our immigration policy with Cuba, given the president's recent action to try to normalize relations, a lot of people think it's time.
Yeah. Well, and you did just talk about it. I mean, that's a good point. You will be looking for it tonight. Let's check in on the economy, though. A year ago, the president was saying the economy was not working for everyone. Tonight, he's expected to say the economy, you know, is working, but still not for everyone. So let's check in. Jay Jochnowitz, again, there at the Albany Times Union in upstate New York. My grandfather worked at Mohawk Rugs there in Troy, but we know the factories are disappearing. But high-tech booming, and you found out New York is the envy of now former Texas Governor Rick Perry on that front. Tell us that story.
Yeah, New York is you could say, stealing business from Texas. They made an investment many years ago under a Republican governor, a Democratic assembly leader, and a Republican Senate majority leader. They made an investment in a tech college of sorts in Albany that used to be attached to SUNY Albany, and they actually split off as a brand new tech college. And around that has just been this massive investment going on. It's like a little magnet of its own, along with a lot of money that the state has held out there to the tech industry. So now we've got a chip fab plant in the some miles away from there, but it's in the next county. And there are growing course offerings, there are growing incubators, and it's just exploding. And New York is looking forward to, and I don't think it's rhetoric, they're looking forward to being kind of a mini Silicon Valley up here.
And the former Texas Governor Rick Perry buttonholed you at a conference when he found out you were from Albany because he wanted to know more about it.
Yeah, he wanted to talk about two things. One was Governor Eliot Spitzer's troubles at the time, and the other was he made an aside to me about how New York was looking to poach his business, and he was good natured about it. But obviously, if a governor in Texas is concerned enough to talk about that to just some random journalist,
he wants to get jobs for wherever he possibly can. We just have about a minute left, but I just want to ask each of you real quick, and we'll start with you, Nick. What would you like to hear about from the president tonight that we haven't talked about?
I think I would like to hear more talk about the economy.
Okay,
we're kind of in a bubble down here. I guess we're like Albany, in that we're recipients and both recipients of the benefits of shale oil and consumers of shale oil. So things have been perking along here for quite some time.
And oil prices now way down. Rosemary, what about you? What would you like to hear about?
Well, I guess most people are looking – those people who are going to watch tonight are going to see a lot of people sitting on their hands. And the question is, in this last 2 years, how is he going to get things done? Can he really change his style? Where does he see the places that he can work with Congress?
And Jay, you've said you want to hear more about broadband. And Jay Jagnowitz is there at the Albany Times Union in upstate New York. Rosemary Goudreau, O'Hara, the South Florida Sun Sentinel in Miami. Nick Jimenez of the Corpus Christi Caller Times in South Texas. We will be watching along with you tonight to see what the president does say. Thanks to all of you.
Great to be on.
Thank you.
Here.